Thank you, worship team, or worship family, this morning. That wonderful time. A few weeks ago, Tim asked me if I would consider preaching this morning because he and many of the men would be at the men's retreat. And at first I hesitated. And then he said, "It's the fifth part of the series. I want you to talk about missions." And I said, "Oh, well, that's my love language. Here we go." Some of you may know that Tim and I met at a missions training center many years ago. We served with Eastern Mennonite Missions in Hungary for 12 years and have been involved in various mission endeavors since. My current job is mission team director at Eastern Mennonite Missions, so it's a subject close to our hearts. It's not an add-on, but something we consider really integral to following Jesus. And I love being part of a church that shares that commitment. So at EMM the other day, I decided to do a database search. And I came up with this many, many, many pages of people from Mount Joy Mennonite Church who have served with EMM in various capacities over the years. In fact, that list had more than 120 names on it. And that's just EMM, so I know that many people have served and are serving with other great organizations as well. On my list, over 30 of these names were people who served long-term, sometimes for decades, in places like Ethiopia, Tanzania, Guatemala, Honduras, Sudan, many other places. And only God knows the fruit of that labor over the years. But here's what I can tell you confidently. There are churches and schools and hospitals in various places of the world because Mount Joy Mennonite Church gave of themselves and their resources to see those being built. I know that there are individuals and families and whole communities whose lives have been changed for literally eternity because this church had a heart for the nations. Friends, that's a remarkable legacy. It's no small thing. I am so thankful for the ongoing support of this church, for EMM and for other missions, missionaries around the world. I'm going to put on my EMM hat for just a second and let you know I did set up a table out in the lobby with some kind of fresh EMM materials. If you're interested in learning more about some opportunities, ways to get involved, if you'd like to hear about a worker that you know somewhere and an update about them, I'd love to talk to you. And if you are 18 to 25, or if you know someone who's between the ages of 18 and 25, I particularly want to talk to you about a gap year missions experience. I know we're in this future cast series, but before we look to the future, I'm going to look back. I'm going to look back to the 1930s when Lancaster County Mennonites sent their first international missionaries. 1934, a family was sent to what is now called Tanzania. And this was a big deal, folks. Like right now, we think that, oh, international travel is easy. You jump on a plane, you FaceTime someone when they're in another country. Of course, none of this was possible. It was a big deal for a group of Mennonite farmers, most of whom who had never been outside the country, many of whom still suffering the financial effects of the Great Depression, to send a family halfway across the world to very uncertain circumstances. It was a tremendous act of faith. And I started wondering, what made them do that? What makes people take those kind of bold steps? And so I dug around in the archives, and I came up with this quote from Missionary Messenger of 1937, okay, 3 years after they were sent. Because they were asking the same question, what is motivating people to do this? And they came up with four things: a knowledge of God's word, the authority of Jesus, intercessory prayer, a burden for lost souls, or as we might say today, a compassion for people. Knowledge of God's word, the authority of Jesus Christ. Let's start there, because I think these four things are what still compel us today. So certainly one part of God's word that inspired them was this passage, which is our passage for this morning, Matthew 28, 18 to 20. Would you read this with me? And like with gusto? All right. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Yeah. Can we go back to the first part of that verse as we look at it together? Sometimes we quote this verse and we start with 19, therefore. Therefore go. But in the back of my mind, I'm always hearing this English teacher I had once who said, if there's a therefore, always ask what it's there for, right? And this therefore is pretty important, because what comes before is the basis for this statement. And it's Jesus' reminder to his disciples that because of his crucifixion and resurrection, all power on heaven and earth, all authority on heaven and earth has been given to him. And so what follows, it's not a suggestion, it's not a recommendation, it's an assignment, it's a commissioning with all of the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. We also sometimes chop off the very end, if we can go to the next slide here. And yet it's also very important, because Jesus says, "Surely I am with you always till the end of the age." This is Jesus' assurance that what he was sending them to do, he was not sending them to do alone. In fact, it's Jesus who is going to all nations and turning their hearts to him. And he's simply asking his followers to come along. And so we start with a reminder of Jesus' authority, and we end with a promise and assurance of his presence. And in the middle, he gives this assignment. And friends, some things in the Bible are admittedly hard to understand. But this is not one of them. It's really pretty straightforward. Go, he says. Where? Everywhere. Everywhere. All nations, or perhaps more accurately, all people groups, all ethnic linguistic groups in the world. And when you go, what should you do? We should make disciples. It's what Pastor Tim talked about last week. We should make disciples. Of course, you're going to baptize them. You're going to teach them. You're going to walk with them in following me just as you are following me. It was in response to Jesus' authority, with confidence in Jesus' presence, that the early missionaries went out and the church sent them, often at great sacrifice. It's why people go today. It's why people set aside what they could do and choose to follow Jesus in this way. So Matthew 28 compelled them. I think it wasn't just Matthew 28. Matthew 28 is not the only mission passage in the world. In fact, it's in the Bible. It's not the first one, as a matter of fact. Find the first one, we're going to go the whole way to Genesis. And in Genesis 12, God calls the first missionary. His name was Abram. And he says to him, go. Go to a land you don't know. He didn't even tell Abram where he was going. He says, go. And he makes this promise to bless him. And to bless not only him, but check out the end of this verse. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you. God's blessing is never just for us. It's never just for our family. It's never just for our people. But from the beginning, his desire was the blessing would flow through us to all of the earth. Now, we could do a survey of Scripture today and find verse after verse after verse where this theme is present. But we're going to jump the whole way to Revelation, from Genesis to Revelation. This is God's future cast. This is his vision for the church at the end of the ages. Will you read it with me? After this, I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. Amen. Do you want to be part of that? I want to be part of that. This is God's heart, friends, that all peoples, all nations would be there worshiping him. And I'm hiding this morning to keep this in front of us. It is very easy in our stressful, busy lives to get hyper-focused on me, my family, my problems, the community around me, and to lose sight of really the expansiveness of what God is doing in the world. It's not that local outreach isn't important. It absolutely is. All peoples of the earth includes the peoples of Mountjoy and Lancaster and Elizabethtown. Certainly, most of us, right, are called to invest the majority of our energy and time and resources in the people and the communities that God has put right here. And yet some of us, and certainly the church as a whole, I believe, is called to carry this call to the nations. You know, in Acts 1, Jesus told his disciples, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, that is right where they were, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. But I don't think he meant it to be a step-by-step, like we follow a recipe. Get step one all done, cream your butter and sugar, and then put in the eggs. I think he meant it to be all at once. And in fact, we see that happening by Acts 8, which is about a year after Acts 1. By Acts 8, the apostles are scattered by persecution, by the way, but they're scattered. And the Judea and the Samaria and the ends of the earth is happening already. This is not an either-or question. It's always a both end. I think of the parable of the sower. And the sower goes out to sow, and he sows. He just sows. He's not worried about running out of seed because he has plenty of it. Of course, we live in a time where that distinction between what is local and what is global is getting pretty blurry, right? Because we have people from all nations living across the street. Praise God. It makes us so much richer. And so the opportunity to be a blessing to the nations doesn't even need to involve getting on a plane. I'm thankful for the work of Fred and Shelley and the team that works with them in being a welcome to new neighbors in our community. What a wonderful opportunity for the church to demonstrate God's love for the nations. You'll hear some people say that the time for cross-cultural mission is past. It's outdated. It's old-fashioned. Well, maybe. But if Jesus is still Lord, and if the needs still exist, then I believe the call is still valid. And the truth is, we have more tools at our disposal to actually be about his mission than ever before in history. And folks, God's doing some amazing things around the world. I get to hear stories that so deeply encourage me that I wish I could spend a day just sharing them with you. Do you know that there are people who estimate that in Iran today there are over 1 million Christians? The church is growing there at a pace that would blow your mind. And this isn't a place of extreme persecution. Stories like that are multiplied many times over. I know the news can get discouraging. But what God is doing around the world often doesn't make the headlines. God's global mission task is not failing. But it is not finished either. I'm going to put up a map here. And you probably can't see it very well. You see some dots there. And the dots represent people groups. Green dots being people groups, ethnic and linguistic groups, where there's a viable church, a spreading church, a church that can share with their neighbors. The red dots indicate what we call unreached people groups, meaning people groups among whom there are 2% or less of the population know Christ. In many places, that number is much, much lower. I think of Morocco, for example, where I have friends working. Among Moroccans, they say 0.08% of people are Christians. It's about 8 in 10,000. Keep in mind that as you drove here this morning, you probably passed a couple of churches. I counted the other day that I can turn my dial and come up with at least 10 Christian radio stations. And yet there remain today in 2025 more than 7,000 people groups where there is no Christian witness, no viable church. Sometimes not even Bible in their language. That's sobering to me. I hope it's sobering to us. We know that just because someone hears the gospel doesn't mean they choose to follow Christ. We see that all around us. And yet, I believe that everyone at least deserves the opportunity to hear the gospel in a way they can understand, to know a Christian who lives that out, to experience Christ's love through someone. It's not my desire this morning to put us on a guilt trip or give us another thing to do. First of all, because I think I'm preaching to the choir and this is a missions-minded church. But also because I think the Great Commission is an invitation of the Spirit to participate in what God's doing, to not just be a spectator, but to enter in. And I think the result is great blessing and joy as we get to be a part of what God's doing around the world. I want to share two pictures with you. The first is a young woman named Sarah. Sarah's about 28 years old, and she's from Belize. She's a part of an indigenous people there called the Garifuna people. She's part of the Belize Mennonite Church. This is a church community started by missionaries from around here decades ago. And she said she always thought that missionaries were people who came from America to her country. And yet a few years ago, as she heard about people around the world who have yet to hear the gospel, she felt a stirring in her heart. And she felt God calling her to West Africa. Well, that seemed like crazy talk, right? People from her country don't become missionaries. And yet through a series of events and through the generosity of God's people, her church sent her just a couple of months ago to Gambia, where she's learning language, and Gambia's in West Africa. She's learning language, studying nursing, to serve people through medical ministry and make disciples among unreached peoples there. The next picture is a young man named Fernando. Fernando is from the Peru Mennonite Church. Once ago, decades ago, started by workers from around here who went to Peru. And he heard about the Isan people in Thailand. About 20 million people, of whom there are very few Christians. And he felt like God was calling him to become part of the work there. So once again, his small church came around, raised what for them is a very significant sum of money. And Fernando flies to Thailand next week And friends, I wish you could see the rejoicing in the church in Belize and the church in Peru when they get to send their first missionaries. What a celebration this has been for them. They don't see it as a burden. They don't see it as an obligation. They see it as a privilege to participate in what God is doing around the world, to get to play their part. Would that be our heart as well? Right? That we get to play our part in what God is doing in the nations. We get to support Jerry Keener as he goes to Vietnam this month to teach. We get to get behind Jonathan Bornman as he's in the Middle East right now calling people to be peacemakers and building bridges with Muslims. We get to support Caleb and Jessica Landis. We get to support the Malays when they go to India. We get to get behind the Sensenigs as they minister in Chad. Would we call our young people to service, recognizing it as a high calling, right? As something worth spending your life for. EMM, as we've looked at the map and as we've prayed about what part, however small or large, God wants us to play, we're focusing on particular unreached peoples in particular areas of the world. And we're asking churches like Mount Joy, would you pray with us and discern with us what part God might be calling you to pray? Play in prayer, in giving, in going, in visiting, in advocating. I dream of a future in which places where the church is currently absent become places of fertile Jesus transformation. And I dream of a future in which this body gets to play a part in that. Friends, Jesus is still Lord. And he is still with us. And what a privilege to be on assignment with him. I'm going to close our time today by praying together. I'm going to ask Amy to come up here and help me unroll this scroll. I mentioned that there remain a little over 7,000 groups of people where there is no church. This scroll contains the names of all of those. Now, Amy, I'm not going to have her do this. She could go the whole way into the parking lot and would still not unroll this. Some of these names, a lot of them we've never heard of. I've never heard of, right? Some of them have only a couple hundred people. Some of them have, especially people groups in India, sometimes tens of millions. I mentioned earlier that the early missionaries were sent out, were compelled to go because of a knowledge of God's word, the authority of Jesus, but also by intercessory prayer and a burden, a compassion for people. The Great Commission is certainly a command, but I think we all know that commands aren't always terribly motivating for people. You know what's really motivating? It's love. In fact, it's what motivates God. Think of John 3:16. For God so loved the world. And I think it's hard to have compassion and love for people that we've never seen. They're way far away in another part of the earth. And I found for myself that prayer, intercessory prayer, as I pray for people, God does something in my heart in giving me love and compassion for those people that perhaps I've never seen. Of course, you don't need a prayer scroll to do this. You could open your news feed this morning and hear about incredible needs around the world, places where peace is desperately needed, places where material aid is desperately needed, places that need Jesus. And it's our privilege to participate in what God's already doing by joining in prayer. And so I'm going to invite you and this might be a little uncomfortable for people, and I apologize in advance, but if you are able and willing, I'd like to invite you to come along this scroll and read and find a people group or so that you could pray for. I'm going to lead us in prayer. If you are not comfortable in getting up and moving or can't get up and move, that's fine. You can join me in prayer anyway. But I would invite you while the worship team comes up to stand up and find a place on this scroll. You can kneel or stand along the side of it and pick out a name or so. See a few brave souls moving. I'm going to lead us in prayer. Feel free to join along with maybe a name you see. Maybe it's a missionary you already know. Maybe it's a people group that's on your heart. Maybe it's a name you've heard in the news. Or maybe it's a brand new name you're looking at right now. But let's bring these before the Lord. Lord Jesus, we thank you that your love has extended to us. Lord, that sometime, somewhere in history, someone told us about you and led us to you. Lord, we join our voices for those and on behalf of those who still wait to hear. Lord, people who you love. Lord, would you expand our hearts by your Spirit? Would you give us your love for these people? And would it be the kind of love that spurs us to action, that spurs us to pray and to send and maybe even to go? Lord, we pray for workers in these various places, people who are doing hard work in hard places, and pray that you would strengthen them today. And encourage them. Would you open doors for their ministry? Lord, would you confirm your word even by signs and miracles and healings? Jesus, as Prince of Peace, would you be known as peace in places that are war-torn? Lord, we lift up to you today Ukraine and Gaza and the Congo, Sudan. And ask that you would raise up peacemakers in these places. And Lord, we ask that you would teach us as a church and lead us. Lord, that you would help us discern what part of your great work we get to be part of. Lord, that so your name would be known, that you would be worshipped and adored in all the earth. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may go back to your seats.